Love Osho podcast brings you the real stories of the people whose lives have been inspired and transformed by Osho. We explore why thousands of people are falling in love with Osho and where to find them. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to the Love Osho podcast. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. Today our guest is Madeva Pratibha. Pratibha took sannyasi in 1976 and is a healer working with voice and sounds. Pratibha has integrated many psychological and spiritual therapies with her direct experience in the Osho commune to create her own unique approach using the voice as the vehicle for transformation. Pratibha is the founder of Voicing and leads groups and trainings all over the world. Pratibha, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. I'm really honored to be talking to you and to all who will listen.
Oh, well, I am honored to have you as a guest on the show. I'm so happy. So to start, tell us a little bit about how you came across Osho.
This is the question. That was really long ago. I was seeking very, very strongly. And I had gone to a spiritual quest journey in South America for 9 months and then came back in Europe looking for a master. And I came to a level where I really was hitting my head on the wall and saying, Master, if you are there, please give me a sign. And within an hour, a dear friend of mine called me up and said, I'm coming back from India. I was with the master. I need to see you immediately. And that woman was Pratiti, who then founded Miasto. And I immediately went to Milan. And when I saw her, I really saw her as the messenger who was, you know, connecting me with Osho. So it took me a year to reach Pune. And when I went there, I was actually pregnant. I was 2 months pregnant. And I carried on my pregnancy and birth in Pune. So that was a real jump. But when I came in front of Osho, it was so clear I had arrived. I had arrived to a shore of another land, of something I was looking for. It was so evident. It was such an experience that I will never forget. That's it, very clear, very fast, how I got to Osho.
Yes, I'm sure it's a much longer story and there are many details, but, you know, you gave us a bit of an idea that, you know, you were on a spiritual search and then somehow through Pratiti, through a friend, you came to know about Osho, you went to India and then you saw him and that was it. You know, you realized that that was your path. So yeah. Perhaps, yeah, it'd be interesting to hear your first one-to-one meeting with Osho and how you took sannyas.
Oh, that was the very first time I saw him. I don't know. It was clear for me. I came to become a disciple. I never had a moment of doubt. And I remember Pratiti was in Pune. She gave me a robe and she said, okay, come in tonight. And that was it. I was in front of him and I don't even remember if I said I want to take sannyas. And he gave it to me. So I was so in another space that it's hard to find words for it. Anyway, after a week or two, I went back and I was more, you know, able to ask him what to do because I wanted to carry on my pregnancy there. So he gave me some instruction, meditation to do, and that is.
Okay, so you had a chance then to ask him personal questions. And this, for example, is very interesting for me to know because there are, lots of misconceptions about Osho and his views on children, family, marriage and pregnancies, etc., etc. So in your case, you were pregnant, you went to him to ask him advice, and what did he tell you?
Well, he said very good, you know, like he often says. And the very first meeting, he gave me a few meditation to do, and then he asked me to report how I would feel and how it, you know, I would react to it. And that's how I went on. And then I saw him a few times during the pregnancy, especially after having done some meditation in groups. But the most important meeting for me has been towards the end of the pregnancy, when I was probably 8 months pregnant. A few weeks before the birth, I went and I asked him a question, especially, you know, related to birth. And then he answered me extensively about how, you know, how to envision, how to go through such an experience as a childbirth. It was very, very touching, very strong for me, and incredible good advices. And I was just reading a few minutes ago, I picked up that that discourse, that answer he gave me, because it is published in a Darshan diary. So I was impressed again. So that was it.
Well, at this point, you made me very curious to know a little bit more in details what he said. And also, as a context, you know, again, there are many misconceptions, let's say, about Osho and children, etc. But we can clearly say in your case that he supported you in your pregnancy, and then he gave you specific meditation, specific advices to make sure that you had a beautiful experience and healthy and beautiful relationship with your child. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, definitely. People don't understand probably that, you know, having a child when you go into a very deep spiritual search, it is not a good choice unless you make that choice as part of your spiritual path. Because, as Osho said many times, you will have periods where you cannot be totally available to the child, because you are so busy with your inner world. And at the same time, a child needs your full attention, at least for a number of years. So he was actually very trying to mirror what your choice was. And a commune like we had was not the best surrounding for raising a child. Not so much at the beginning. When I was there, there weren't so many people, so the children were allowed to move freely within the commune. But later on, with so many people arriving, that started to become a problem, and that's why children under 12 were not allowed to come in unless they were with their parents and at a certain specific time of the day. And, you know, I can tell myself through my experience as, you know, pregnancy, giving birth, and then being a mother in Pune for so many years, it has not been so easy. I had to be very, very clear about my choice and how and which were the priorities about it. So I don't know. I understand that you have picked up that there are many criticism around what people think it's Osho's choices. Actually, Osho was responding to our behaviors, basically, and trying to make us more aware. That's all.
Okay, now that's very, very interesting to hear. And the topic of children and sannyasins raising children is a huge topic, and you know, we can have a whole discussion, yeah, and then a whole episode. But you know, this was actually unplanned, but because you brought it up, I thought it was very interesting. So thanks for that, and let's move on. And I'd like to talk about your work as a healer using voice and sound. I understand that through the years you developed a method called voicing. Mm-hmm. So for people who don't know you and your work, can you give us a little bit of an overview of your work? And then I'd love to go into the details on how your experience with Osho, living in the commune, shaped you and your work.
Yes. Well, everything started with a peak experience I had in South America, a jungle, where I started singing spontaneously. That shattered my whole system. It really shooted me in a total different plan, in a total different world. And even more so because I was thinking that I was not able to sing, that I was out of tune or something like that. So that started my curiosity and my search around singing, and especially and only around spontaneous singing. So by and by, then through the years, through my search around with people who also deal with singing and sound and stuff like that. But then more in Pune, where after a few years of doing meditation in groups, almost by chance, somebody asked me to give her a session. And I had no idea what this session would be, but it became such an impressive experience, both for the person who asked and me who was giving it, that I started then. She pushed me into starting to give session, and then very fast starting with groups. So basically what I am offering is that the spontaneous singing has an incredible power and an incredible capacity for transformation, and also can involve all the plans from the psychological to the spiritual. So the more I do, the more I discover. And so by and by, it took a form also of teaching, which is what I offer nowadays through groups and especially through a long period of teaching that it's my training.
There are many things I want to ask, and definitely I want to pick up on this idea that singing is therapeutic from a psychological point of view and also spiritual development. But just before that, because you were talking about your story with the voice, I understand that you had this incredible experience before going to Pune, and then somehow you developed the opportunity to share this gift of the voice later on. So there, yes, was like a big gap, as if there was like a pregnancy, if you like, of a number, yeah, of years whilst you were in Pune. So do you think that something happened during this time? Was it accidental? Let's get a little bit more into that.
Okay. One of the main questions after this experience, and then followed by other, of course, was how am I going to share that? Because when such things happen, there is a natural desire in human being to share. And you cannot share because you don't know how you got there, you know, somehow. So in a way, going to Pune, devoting my time completely to motherhood and meditation, first pregnancy and so on, gave me a grounding, gave me a lot of information also on other levels, you know, physically, the breathing, the body, the psychic. And I think that all this started creating a body, a substratum on which I could also include then the voice. And how I started, I told you before, it was, yes, accidental, but I also took it as a kick that I was receiving to now try to share what I had experienced. So that's how it went. So the experience in Pune and in the vicinity of Osho and so gave me the instrument also to be able to translate a little bit to the other people what I had experienced.
I see, understand. And if you were to say what elements of Osho's teaching that you have learned are present in your work today with voice, what would that be?
Acceptance. Singing is in its nature a yes saying. You cannot sing in a resonant way if you are not inside, if you are not saying yes to what you are singing. You can sing the no, so it's you are totally saying yes to a no. But if you sing a yes and inside there is a no, the singing won't resonate. You could hear it. So singing has this quality of saying yes and on top of it, celebrating. Singing is a celebration of something. So you can sing anything. Let's say if you are angry or if you are afraid and you really feel that and you feel it inside, it has a vibration that can be heard, that you can put out. You are saying yes to that fear. And this is the best way to neutralize, in a way, the fear. The problem, as Osho says, is because we don't accept whatever happens to us. But the moment you accept, there is no problem. So singing in this way is the proof, in a way, of what Osho is saying. So that's why I said acceptance is one of the main teaching of Osho that is present in my work.
Wonderful. And the way you talk about singing, to me, it's nothing to do with singing in the traditional way. So it's almost like a paradigm shift. You know, I'm trying to picture in my mind what you're saying, and it doesn't really relate to what I know about singing. Singing normally is like, you know, you hear a song and you try to repeat, you know, make the same sounds. Whereas
the problem, Swaran, because as you say, singing generally, we consider singing when we need to have heard a song before. So we need to activate memory and the capacity to repeat the sounds. If you are not able to repeat the sounds, like in the model, you are told that you are out of tune. And this is unfortunately a synonym of you cannot sing. And to me, this is totally false because everybody can sing. You won't be able to sing with a specific technique like opera singing or pop singing or whatever, but it doesn't matter. You can sing. A child doesn't ask himself, am I able to sing or not. He sings. So that's what I want to make people understand, that singing is your birthright. Even if you have some damage in your chords, you might sing but this is singing also. If you hear a shaman singing, you probably won't say that it's the song that we are used to hear. It might be even disturbing, but it's extremely powerful and has some real effect. So that's why I want to change a little bit that idea about what singing is. I don't know if I have answered your question.
Absolutely. You know, first of all, I hear a lot of elements of Osho. You know, there is the element of acceptance, as you say, there is the element of creativity.
Totality. I was forgetting. Another thing, in order to reach what I'm saying, totality is needed. You have to be fully in what you're doing. Like Osho says, the singer disappears, only the song is.
That's yes, so that's another element of Osho, of course, totality. And then you said singing is birthright of every person. And that reminds me of Osho saying, you know, Buddhahood is your birthright. And also the way you talk about singing and the way now I'm picturing it in my mind is like when Osho talks about dancing. He says, for me, dancing in the Osho meditations is completely free from the technique, from the move, from trying to imitate the perfect dance of a specific dancer. And somehow that's what I think you're saying with singing. You know, it's just...
Exactly. This is exactly the same. We have emphasized a lot the dancing in Pune more than the singing, especially in the way I was sustaining. I started actually to do groups in Pune in 89, so a year before Osho left his body. So it didn't develop that much, even if the first years in Pune groups were, you know, very, very big. And it was a pleasure to lead groups in Pune because people were so total, so devoted to themselves, so daring. I think I never found the same audience anywhere else in the world.
Yes, I can imagine. I mean, I guess that was the energy field and Osho's presence and all these beautiful sannyasins who were there totally dedicated to that. So that's it's hard to find nowadays. But so you started doing the workshops just 1 year before Osho left the body. And as you mentioned, historically, there are many more groups that involve dance and there are all sorts of therapeutic approaches. Whereas with singing, I think they developed a little bit later on. So I'm curious to know, have you had a chance to talk to Osho about your workshops, your work, or can you recall anywhere where Osho mentioned the power of voice or anything like that?
That's the problem, I was saying. You know, I didn't. First of all, at that time, we couldn't talk personally to Osho, and you could... Yes, answer questions, but I don't know. It didn't happen. I regret it not having dared asking certain questions that I might have come across with. Of course, here and there is Osho speaking about singing, and I'm just trying to think of something, especially also listening. But... nothing much has been asked about the sound and the singing. No, I don't remember.
Okay, fair enough. And to me, this makes your work even more valuable because, of course, you've been there for so long and you imbibed Osho and now you developed your work with Osho's energy and Osho's teachings. So going back a little bit about this idea of singing as therapy and spiritual development, and also linked to the fact that there were so many different therapeutic approaches developed under Osho in Pune One, and then of course later, and even today, there are so many groups available. So how singing can be psychologically therapeutical, and how singing is spiritual?
Okay, you know, that's a complex question to answer. Let's say that, as I said before, everything can be sang. So I make an example. If you come up with a problem, I generally ask to see if you can give a voice to that problem, not in terms of explaining it, but in terms of expressing it through a singing, through a sound first, and then let the sound take the, you know, an arm, a melody or something like that. Generally, if you start singing your problem, let's say, and you can manage to be totally into it, when you end up the song, you will be in a different plane. Something has evaporated and you feel somehow serene and fulfilled and with the capacity to have a distance to whatever you call your problem. So in that sense, I say always the singing, when it's totally and it's total and spontaneous, is a bridge between a problem state, a psychological state, and the spiritual state. And in my work, of course, we can, in order to dig out, let's say, layers of your personality which are repressed or pushed down or denied, I create some situation in order to provoke that so that we can then elaborate it through the singing and transform it through the singing. I don't know if that was clear, because of course it's a bit complicated, but not that much actually.
I think that as usual in this kind of situations, the experience of doing the, of using the voice is better than the explanation of what it does. Okay, so another question I have is about the association between voice and sounds with chakras and or emotions. There are some techniques, there are some meditations that they use sounds through the chakras. And some people say it's nonsense, and some people say that there is an association. So I'd love to hear what you think about that.
Okay, let's say that the emission of sound respond to a certain gamma, I don't know how to say it in English, from the very low tones to the very high, within a certain range that is that human beings are capable of. And in my work, I notice that if you vibrate, for instance, with very low tones, very, you know, like this, it activates and it vitalizes areas that are related with your body, your roots, your ancestors, your sexuality, and so on and so forth, which actually respond to what in the Indian map of chakra is the first chakra. And so going up and singing a little higher tone, but still very low, it starts embodying all the emotion. And this is response to the belly and to the second chakra. And so on and so forth. The difference between what I do and, chakra sound meditation, for instance, where it uses only sounds. We don't use sounds, we use singing, and in these different qualities of singing that respond and express the different spaces inside. And that is extremely strong. And it's cathartic in the way that it resolves a certain situation which is blocked without the intention of throwing it out, because this is the limit of shouting, which is needed in certain levels of therapies. But the real healing is when you are able to accept it. So instead of throwing out with the desire to eliminate, to get rid of, it's not as transforming as you express it, like giving it the right to be heard, to be celebrated. So even anger can be celebrated in this way. And the result is much more powerful. And it really finds the real nature of anger and the energy that produces. So we use this energy and celebrate it. Okay? Is that clear or not?
Yes, absolutely. And I think it's a very subtle difference, but very valuable, and makes a huge difference in the sense that if I understand correctly, you're talking about the difference between catharsis and expression, even though obviously they can be synonyms. But, you know, one thing is trying to just get rid of something you don't want, negative emotion, you just throw it out. And the other is transforming it, accepting it, giving it expression. And that is transformative and healing. So if that's the case, I think it's absolutely meaningful.
Yeah, I'm actually, every time that I facilitate a group, I am amazed about the power of this of singing, what it can do and how it can transform, and there is in the whole thing there is also a particular pleasure that comes from this. You are a creator. You understand. You are creating something in that moment when you sing. And that's extremely pleasurable also. So it goes all together, and that's why probably it's so powerful.
Yeah, and it sounds like it's also not hard work, if you like. You know, sometimes some therapy groups can be really tough, you know, which it's needed for some people. I'm not criticizing, but it sounds like your groups, they can be a little bit more fun, and you know, you play with the voice, but then you can go very deep and get into this transformative process.
Okay, I laugh because it is true and also not true. It's not so easy and it's not so light, because going inside oneself, it's always you always stumble into some painful situation, blocks and stuff like that. But it is true that the possibility to express it through singing gives a total different flavor to the work eventually.
Okay, so there is no easy escape of healing the traumas and...
And, you know, there are a number of people who come to do my groups thinking that they are singing a little bit, you know, like, haha, like this. And they got completely shocked to see what it is, really. Yeah. So it's not just a little walk, huh?
It's not a walk in the park. So, okay, let's give this warning for everyone interested. And in fact, on this note, of course, now with COVID, I guess all the programs are on hold. But what do you normally offer and where people can find you if they want to know more about your activities, workshops and trainings?
Okay, as you say, now everything is on hold. I just finished to give an intensive group of 7 days in Miasto at the beginning of September. And with all the measures that are needed nowadays, which went very smoothly and nicely, actually, I was very pleased. But for the future, we have in program to start the training that was supposed to start this year. We have postponed it for the beginning of, it will be in May next year. And I'm kind of closing up the shop, you know. So I generally go to Sweden within the Training for Life at Baravara. And I go to Russia, and I have actually stopped organizing myself. So I think Miasto remains the best reference point for doing some groups with me. And soon I will update my website because it still carries the dates of that are not valid anymore. But anyway, so my website is a good reference point, yes.
And your website is?
Voicing-institute.com.
Okay, brilliant. And I'll link it into the show notes. And I'm pleased to hear that you do these workshops in Miasto, because obviously it's an amazing venue. It's beautiful. It's in Italy. So great. You know, I really hope that things go back to normal soon.
Yeah, of course. I do session, and I do session on Skype. And unfortunately, I cannot do groups on Zoom because Zoom doesn't give the possibility to hear a full group. So, do you have other questions?
Yes, so we are heading towards the end, and I have normally three final questions, which I ask all the guests on the show. The first one is, what's your morning routine? How does your morning look like in the first couple of hours of your day?
Oh my God. I don't think I have a routine. I wake up, I generally look what weather it is, going to the terrace, breathing, and then I prepare to do some exercise and a little meditation. And then I have breakfast the first 2 hours, but it doesn't go every day the same. I'm a very bad disciplined person. I have a discipline and I always do it differently.
I like that. I have a discipline, but I don't follow it.
Okay.
Okay, so the second question is, what's your favorite meditation and why? Osho meditations.
Favorite meditation. It depends. It depends for what, you know? Like, generally speaking, I think Kundalini is one of the most efficient meditation in a way. And I like Nada Brahma, of course. And much less now, because probably I pass the age also, but before, I think dynamic meditation is one of the most the most precious gift that Osho gave to us. It's so complete in a way. And even if, of course, it creates this kind of double feeling of hate and love, like everybody can share probably with me, but it's a meditation I used, especially in moment of my life where I feel I'm not clear, I feel I have problems, I feel I cannot deal with some emotional contents and so on. But all the Osho meditation are fantastic. Now that I speak, the No Dimension comes to my mind also, which I like it very much, or the prayer meditation. So we have such a choice that we can use for whatever moment.
Yeah, indeed. We sannyasins are a lucky bunch. We have so many options available, and all the meditations are beautiful in their own ways. Okay, so the last question is, you live the Osho experiment. What does it mean for you personally to be with Osho today?
I don't really understand the question, what it means today. It hasn't changed. It has changed in the outside, in the behavior, because I'm not in a commune anymore. I live mostly by myself, with friends coming, but the situation around me is different. But being with Osho means having, as a master, is my reference point. I read his book, I hear his discourses, and he's always giving me something. And in reality, to use every situation to be aware, to be celebrating, to be accepting. So that hasn't changed since the times we were in his presence, or physical presence, let's say. It is less flamboyant, of course, than when in the years of Pune or the ranch, but it's something that has been more settling, probably, inside. So more calm, more serene. Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you so much. I think it's a wonderful way to end this beautiful chat. And one of the biggest advantages for me to talk to you guys, sannyasins who have been with Osho, is that I get to know and learn so much from you. And I didn't know, for example, about your work. And it sounds amazing. It sounds so interesting. And I hope I can make it to Miasto and experience the mysteries and the power of the voice. Because I am one of those guys who have been told that I can't sing. but I have this feeling that I have to do something with my voice.
Okay.
So, Pratibha, it's been really a pleasure talking to you. And thank you so much for being part of the Love Osho podcast. I send you lots of love and a big hug.
Yeah, on my side too. Really, thank you. And I hope I will be able to meet you one time.
Absolutely.
And say hello to all the friends in Corfu.
Will do. I'll hug them for you.
Okay. Ciao, ciao.
Ciao.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it and leave a review. Visit loveosho.com for more episodes, blogs, or to connect with us.